From the studios of Books in Motion in Spokane, Washington, this is Rusty Nelson, reading Beyond Survival by G.W. Gautreaux. Now let's begin with Beyond Survival. Chapter 1, The Beginning of Life. The woman in the hospital bed held her newborn son, her finger tracing every detail of the eyes, mouth, and nose. Tears coursed down her face. In the bed directly opposite, an Ojibwe woman lay, her eyes closed, and she too cried softly. Her husband stroked her blue-black hair, and in the Ojibwe tongue murmured endearments and consoling words to her. The two women, grief-stricken, were internally incapable of trying to help one another. Leaving his wife's side, the Ojibwe man crossed the room and sat down beside the white woman's bed. "Your heart is filled with sorrow," he said in a deep, soft voice. "My woman's heart is also filled with sorrow. I do not know how to ease the pain that fills you. I would cut off my right hand if it would ease your grief." The white woman studied him through her tears as he sat, forearms resting on his knees, his head lowered so his face was in shadow. "My wife has asked me to say this thing to you. She asked that you let her hold your son, for only as many heartbeats as there are fingers on your hands." The white woman began to shake, racked with sobs. "My husband died 5 minutes before my baby was born," she said. "How can you ask me to part with my newborn son for as much as a single heartbeat?" "I ask because I did not understand your sorrow, and because my woman has nothing to cling to," he said softly, rising to his feet. "Forgive me. Forgive me." He glanced back at the white woman and her child. "I am sorry I bothered you." "What do you mean?" she said, her anger dominating her words. "What do you mean your wife has nothing to cling to?" The anguish in the man's eyes became even more evident as he tried to speak the answer to her question. "My son died 5 minutes after taking his first breath," the man whispered. "You and I, we have both lost much this day." The young Ojibwe man's words rattled and echoed in her head like a voice from a deep well. A nurse entered the hospital room with medication for her two patients. "Mrs. McKenzie, I have some medication for you," she said, taking a small paper cup from the tray and pouring a glass of water.
"Wait," Eleanor McKenzie answered. "This is more important."
She held her baby up to the nurse. "She needs to hold him for a while," she said, nodding in the direction of the Ojibwe woman. The nurse, smiling in understanding, took the baby to the Ojibwe woman, who also smiled in gratitude. She held the little boy in her arms for a long time, rocking back and forth, crooning to him in an Ojibwe. And tiny infant Carlin McKenzie closed his eyes and slept. The Ojibwe man crossed the room again to stand by the white woman. Though her lovely face reflected the great suffering she was going through, she had stopped crying. "I am Jonathan Peters," he said, "and I thank you for letting Tisha, my wife, hold your son. We have one boy, James. He was born last year. But you and I have suffered a great misfortune this year. Perhaps God wished it so for a reason." There was something much more profound on Jonathan Peters' mind, but he was finding it difficult to express. "I am a father who has lost a son, and your boy has lost his father. The Great Spirit's wishes are seldom clear to mortals." He folded his arms across his chest and stood looking out the window.
"Just what exactly does that mean, and what is on your mind, Mr. Peters?" she asked, wary of the answer and what it may imply.
"If you agree, I will be the boy's father. There is a name for this I do not know in your language. Not a stepfather or a godfather. It is another word. It means a father to be there when he's needed."
"A surrogate father," Eleanor McKenzie said, providing him with the word.
The nurse gently took the sleeping child from Tisha Peters and returned him to his mother for feeding.
"Yes. Yes, that is a fine word," he said, a smile creasing his handsome face. "I offer myself as his surrogate father when he needs me."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?